You're listening to WBCALP 102.9 FM, Boston. Boston's community radio station.
Hello, hello. You're listening to Never Give Up, where giving up is not an option. I'm your host, Rochelle Jones. Good evening and blessings upon your life. Last week, we kind of talked about some of the ways or things that the Holy Spirit does and does for us. And I thought it was really pretty powerful that, you know, I don't think we always looked to the Holy Ghost, or sometimes we don't always give credit to the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to kind of continue on. I know we left off with he empowers us, and that was really, we're really great. And but we want to talk about today that he fills us. You know, I thank God for him, you know, filling me up. And because without it, I mean, there's so many opportunities in this journey to just fall short, to fall down, but he fills us. I kind of look at it like I had this air mattress, and the air constantly was seeping out just a little bit, just enough to kind of look like a little deflated, not as strong, not able to hold you up as strong. It was definitely losing some air, but I watched as I, you know, repumped it back, the air, and you could just see it going back firm to itself. And you feel more secure when it's filled with air. But the Bible tells us in Ephesians, you know, 5:18, to be not drunk with wine, you know, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, you could be filled with wine. And we know that if you drink too much wine, how it can make you act and behave. But in this case, he says, you know, but be filled with the Spirit and the Spirit of God. And so that's what we're aiming for. That's what we want, to be filled with the Spirit. In Acts 2 and 4, it tells us that, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, you know, gave them utterance. And so there's definitely evidence, you know, of the Holy Spirit in that area. Acts 4 and 8 tells us this way. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you know, ye rulers of people and elders of Israel. Well, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it definitely empowers you. He helps you to be strong, you know, and forgive me, because we were always taught that we do not call the Holy Spirit an it. You know, it's just like if somebody said, you know, considered you and referred to you as an it, but the Holy Spirit is a person. And in Acts 4:30, 31 is where I want to be, but I'm going to start at 30. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And so here we see an illustration of, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible has a lot of references to be filled with the Holy Spirit here. And it gave them just a boldness. And I don't know about you, especially in ministry, that we definitely need boldness. I mean, sometimes we are placed in atmospheres and that people do not have the Holy Spirit or do not know God. They can definitely be atheists or think they know God, but living a non-godly life, you know. And so, you know, we all have our act. We all are trying to work out our salvation and clean ourselves up. Well, you know, allow the Spirit of the Lord to cleanse us and to wash us and to rejuvenate us. And so that's a great scripture. So he fills us. And what about how the Holy Spirit teaches us to pray, right? The Holy Spirit teaches us in Romans 8, 26 and 27, another favorite, is that likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, right? He's a helper. He helps us. And, you know, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Like, that is so important. It's like, one, first of all, we don't know how to pray as we ought to, right? I might be praying over here in this area, but this is where the Holy Spirit might lead me, because this is a concern. This is where he wants me to spend that prayer time at, right? So, you know, and he'll pray through us, you know, for us, you know. And do you think that the groanings, right, sound like, oh, I don't want to be groaning, and, you know, but it's funny because, so do you grieve the Holy Spirit because, you know, you're more concerned about how that looks or sounds? But the Bible tells us that, but the Spirit searches, is the one that searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, knows what you've been called to do, and will, like, fight for you, will pray for you, will make intercession for you, you know, according to not your emotions, not what you want, but according to the Word of God, according to your destiny, right? And so, like, why would we not put our hope and trust in that? And Jude 1 and 20 also tells us, he's, you know, but beloved, that building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So, I mean, that right there is that the Holy Spirit literally helps us to pray, to focus where our focus needs to be. And then again, we see that in Romans 8 and 16, that he bears witness in us that we are the children of God. I think we talked a little bit about that last week, but that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He produces us in us the fruit or evidence of his work and presence, you know? And so when we look at Galatians, excuse me, we look at Galatians 5 and 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, right, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And so he produces that fruit in us, or helps produce the evidence, right, of his work and of his presence. So he also distributes spiritual gifts. And he definitely anoints our ministries. Luke 4 and 18, we hear this scripture quite a bit. I remember I used to keep it on my mirror every day, just keep it in my sight, because I was trying to convince myself that God anointed me. And it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. But he's anointed us for this. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And I mean, I know in this context that, you know, he was talking about Jesus, right? But I was so intrigued by this, that if Jesus was saying this, and we're created in his image, and he dwells on the inside of me, I took it personal. And I just put my name there, right? I said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, Rochelle, because he hath anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent you to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to those that are captive, and even recovering of sight to the blind. Not necessarily, you know, those who are vision impaired that they may see, but not counting that out. But there's so many people who have been blinded or who believe wise tales over the word of God. They won't go around a ladder or go walk on the crack on the sidewalk or get real nervous if a black cat crosses. Like, that's the least of our worries right now, really. That we ought to be more concerned with where are we located in the seasons, you know, of the Lord. What is happening? What is the Lord doing in this season? You know, we all remember Paul Martin's song, "Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Don't leave me behind. Lord, I want to be in the move when you're moving. I want to be counted in the number. I want to do, you know, I want to be where you are. I don't want to be watching TV if I should be over there sitting by the dock, you know, because at least if I'm sitting where I need to be, and if you told me to be there, then there's a reason. There's somebody or something that is going to happen that you need me to intervene or speak to, or possibly somebody could be there to speak into your life as well. But the Spirit of the Lord, he's upon us, and he's upon us because there's a work for us to do. You know, and if you look at Acts 10 and 38, I mean, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know, I mean, I have that whole thing highlighted. I might get off topic if I read it all, but it's like you cannot not read it. But continue to read all the way down to verse 42. But for the sake of our discussion today, what the Holy Spirit does, you know, that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. And because of it, he was able to go about doing good and healing that all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Once again, I put my name there. How God anointed Rochelle of Roxbury with the Holy Spirit and with power. And she's going about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil, for God is with her. Put your name in that scripture. I know it's not by my power, but my might. It's by his Spirit. He desires that none be lost. We ought to get up that Jesus now, right? I mean, if Jesus had to be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, we have to receive the Holy Spirit. We want to be filled by the Holy Spirit. We want to walk in this anointing and this power as Jesus did. Hallelujah. He set the example. Where is mouthpiece now? Where is hands now? Did not the Bible say that we would lay hands on the sick and they recover? I don't want any interruptions in my mind after I read that. I don't want to read that and then say, but it's just me. No, not by my might, not by my power, but by his spirit. You could take that positively or negatively. It's by his spirit. And we are allowing the spirit to infill us so that we can do the same thing. We've been created in his image. I mean, that brings more excitement to me than thinking about all the possibilities, how that could be an error. Why not? Why not allow God to use you to speak hope and to speak life? Why would you not want to see people not walking in oppression or depression or suppression? And to know that the third person of the Godhead dwells in you, why does he dwell in you for? So that you can continue to live a life in the world or to continue to do ungodly things? Or do you think he wants you to go about doing good and that he left us a comforter, the Holy Spirit, who has anointed us for our ministry? And so that gives us hope, gives us something to reach for, to think about. In Titus 3:5, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to wash us and renew us. It says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. By the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, when you think about that regeneration, I mean, that word comes up again, right? He regenerates us. He washes us. He renews us. He gives us a new birth, in other words. Like, we're renovated. You know, you ever watch those shows, those renovation shows, when the house was so, sometimes those houses look nice to me, but anyway, they have a makeover, and so they are renovating, they're tearing out the old, and they're putting in new. And normally, it's a radical change, right? It's like, wow. You really know. Like, sometimes you wonder, like, how they can change that around, right? And when they're done, I mean, they knock walls out. I've seen them even expand the space and, you know, put a whole new brick wall. I mean, they add windows. They take away windows. They do what's necessary to be renovated. And so here, God, you know, he's given us new life. He said, we're a new creature in Christ. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. and guess what? I moved from my old house. I moved to a new house. But I thank God that really we're in the same house. He just renovates it, rejuvenates it. I mean, we get to the point where we hide from God, going inside of our hearts, going from room to room, cleansing it. There were some doors I used to have shut to God. I don't know if it's an age thing, but you get to a point where you get tired of trying to fight God and hide in your mess. It's like all of a sudden you're like, Lord, every door is open. Every door, have your way, go in every room. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to hold on to any old stuff, old emotions and feelings. And when the enemy tries to bring that old stuff up, we get to shut it down. We get to say, not coming back in here. Like, somebody asked me, like, oh, you know, you're so positive. Listen, you don't think I had troubles? Divorces? You don't think I had hoopty cars and had to have food stamps and unemployment and we not able to pay the babysitter? Are you kidding me? But I'm not going to allow that to define who I am today. But it did make me stronger. It did make me appreciate what God is doing now in my life. I mean, I hope I never have to go back to a hoopty, but if I do, thank God, Lord, for putting people around me who are able to help, you know? And so the Holy Spirit washes us and renews us, you know, and I also love that the Holy Spirit comes to seal us into the day of redemption. So when we look at Ephesians 1 and 13, it says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that we believed, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. Until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit comes to set us free from the law of sin and death, right? He quickens our mortal bodies. He reveals the deep things of God to us. I mean, you ever read the word and sometimes it's like, oh, I don't know what that means. Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, and we're looking at 10, but 9 is so good too. "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." So you mean to tell me that I don't even have the complete gist of things, right? God has prepared for them that love him. God is preparing something, and my eyes haven't seen it all yet, nor have I heard it all, nor has it entered into my heart yet, but he will. But they say, "But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit." Thank you, Lord. "For the Spirit searches all things." Yes, the deep things of God. We got to stick with the Holy Spirit, right? Because this, the Holy Spirit searches all things. I can't get to the deep things of God without the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to be able to land on it. And so we find out that he also dwells in us. "Know ye not," 1 Corinthians 3 and 16, "know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Like, we've got to take ownership to that. It's like we just can't read it and let it go. He dwells in us. Romans 8 and 9 say it this way, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." You ever find it tricky sometimes how people try to make people appear spiritual, but not? Like, you got to back that up. Like, I mean, I have to listen to all and I'm not going to judge, but you got to back that up. You don't get to say it without having to live the life and to live sacrificed. And you cannot receive it in the flesh. He said, if you're in the flesh and you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not even his. Like, you can't make that up. You're not even his. All right, cousin. You know how you act during the cookouts? You know the things you do at the cookout? Yeah, let me get out of that. The Holy Spirit brings liberty. He brings absolute liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Whew. I'm just sitting here and I'm thinking, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Liberty. He definitely transforms us into the image of Christ. We see that when he says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Wow. I mean, the Holy Spirit, we cannot continue to do ministry and to do and be successful in the things of God without the Holy Spirit. I just pray that as we went over some of these things, that you begin to see how crucial it is to walk by the Spirit and not the flesh. There's so much benefits that come from serving the Lord and walking in this, having the Holy Spirit. Not it, but the Holy Spirit. And so I just pray that you would continue to be encouraged. Remember that you don't walk alone. Remember that the Holy Spirit is with you. So when you feel like you want to give up, when you feel like you can't make it, remember, dwell in the secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. Run to him, the author and the finisher of your faith. They'll get you through. He'll get you through. Man may let you down, but God will always be there, even unto the ends of the world. You've been listening to Never Give Up, where giving up is not an option. I'm your host, Rochelle Jones. Remember, greatness is on the inside of you. See you next week.